Dear family, good morning. Today is December, the first Sunday. And it's such a joyous day. We celebrate our Jesus and the birth. This is the month we do that. We truly want to get to know this beautiful, this amazing love God. So this Father God, this good Father, He loves us to such a degree that He would not withhold His only Son, just crush Him and just cause Him pain so that He becomes a redemption offering so that we could have freedom. Isn't that right? Jesus came to earth is to declare year of Jubilee so that those who are in bondage can be set free. Those who are oppressed can experience freedom. Bottom line, just freedom. Freedom. Are you free? Are you free? Some people are not very confident. That's okay. I really believe that through the month of December, we are able to press in into God's true son, the freedom that comes with being his true son. Do we know that November, December, what's our theme? Submission or the heart of obedience. So now this theme is kind of boring, I think, because I'm not going to provide a very exciting topic, but I know that obedience and submission is the foundation of inner life. Now, if a person does not have a submissive or obedient character, then there's no way that this person is able to truly understand what inner life is. And also, the heart of obedience is the most key and important in the eyes of God, because He is an all-powerful, all-knowing God. He has a strategy for everything. He has a timeline for everything. His arm is not short. He can do all things. He uses His word to create the universe and the heavens. Do you know that all that is spoken into being? So you can see that God's creation is so amazing, so complete, so completely 100% sustaining. And mankind is just wanting to add some sort of opinion, just wanting to add in some creation so that we can live more in comfort and ease. So these inventions causes us to live in comfort, but then even those little inventions, cycles and consequences, you know, for example, AC and then heating or whatever, that actually, even with gasoline, all these inventions causes and damages the environment and cannot complete its whole circle. It cannot be cycled in without damaging the environment. So I just feel like our God, He just needs His sons and daughters, just the bottom line, to obey Him. Because in that process of obedience, the heavens and the universe, which is created through the word of God, that He is going to sustain all things through His word and His command. As long as mankind keep on following Him, submitting to God, obeying to God, and all the wonders of His creation we're able to enjoy. But because of mankind, the fallen nature wanted to, out of selfishness, say that, oh, I can do it my way. I depend on myself. I am not so keen on following an invisible God, and I cannot trust Him. And because of it, the mankind has created and impacted this beautiful world in such a way that this world is damaged. And right now, we, as mankind, we're wondering, how do we resolve the pollution and the damage? But we've already damaged and hurt and just released many toxins into this world. So you discover that when you obey God, a lot of things become very simple. The path becomes simple and that your life becomes so clear. why is it that it's hard for us to obey him? Because he has so much compassion. His goodness is new every morning, and that he's full of grace. He loves to extend mercy. He uses mighty arms to come and rule and reign all things. So he releases the Prince of Peace to be among us. And why is it we have a hard time submitting and obeying him? Do you think it's hard to obey? So only two people that says it's not hard. Everybody else is difficult, huh? God has never forced us to obey him. So today, I have a really heavy burden that I want to release. And I want everyone to, because it's been a month. So has obedience... because you know, God does not want us to obey him like a slave. That's not him. He has never wanted to force obedience upon us. He doesn't want us to force ourselves and says, oh, no longer me, yours, do it your way, not my way. No, no. God said, I never wanted to oppress you to offer up mankind's will to the altar. I want mankind to love my ways and love my plans and to really know and understand that I know what's good for you. And not only that, but I only release the best to you. I only give you the best. And then I only release the best for your daily needs. But a lot of times for us, we just want to grab a lot of things. We get jealous and just desire a lot of things. Actually, it's hurtful to us. So we feel like, well, I asked God, how come you didn't give it to me? Then I'm going to make a way. I'm going to fight it my way. But God, if you're willing to think back and remember your past up to now, how your daily life, how is it? And in Deuteronomy 4, what did God say? Israel is about to enter into the good land. So Moses has commanded Israelites. So Deuteronomy 4.
And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you.
So through Moses is telling them that I have given you the statutes and the rules. Don't be bothered by those, but you need to honor these and obey so that you are able to live, that you're able to live. And what it says is just that God's word is life. If you really listen and obey, then that's the only way that you could live, that you can overcome the enemies all around you. And not only that, but it says that that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that I have given you. So if you enter into the promised land, the only way that you can inherit this beautiful land as inheritance is to obey his word. And not only that, but this land is going to be good to you. Whether it's good to you or not, it's based on whether you obey him or not. So let's look at the next verse, verse 6.
Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
So right now, nowadays, we want to be smarter, more strategy, more successful, just becoming somebody that others envy. But God says that if you obey my commands, the whole nation, the whole world will come and say, whoa, how come this nation is so full of wisdom? You know, Christians, God's sons and daughters, if you just obey God's word absolutely, the whole of this world, the nations will rush into the church and ask, why is it that church knows to do this and that? Why is it that the church will have this kind of foresight into the future? Because church obeys God's commands. You know that? So do you desire to be somebody who is envied that before the nations, they look upon you and they go, you're full of wisdom and strategy? If you want that, then learn to read God's word, to know him, and to obey his words. So this is so important. And on verse 10.
How on that day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so.
So, dear family, God has released his precious word to give it to God's family, sons and daughters. One thing, the goal is so that we will know him, so that we can honor him, to really truly know him, so that we have such honor and fear of the Lord. And so the second point, then you teach the children, to teach the next generation to also walk in the fear of the Lord. So dear family, these two things, have you learned? When you read God's word, and then God gives you this precious Bible to you, how many years have you been a believer? Have you learned to honor him? Have you begun to teach your children and your next generation? This is so important. You're going to discover that God's word is established in heavens. And this God, you'll notice that he is so drawn to those who obey him, who submit to him, that he really, it just so taking care of every single detail of their lives, so watchful over them. Take a look at Abraham. Abraham is a God-honoring, a God-honoring person. So when God called Abraham, he's willing to leave everything and just to press in forward. So even though he did not know what's going to be happening in the future, but he obeyed and he walked out, and God began to pour out grace and compassion over him. So even though he ran into enemies, he ran into people who wanted to take advantage of him, they are all wanting to take advantage of Abraham. And then he told his wife, hey, you know what? Tell them you're my sister. So that's Abraham's weakness. But you discover that God, even in this, but God took care of Abraham because he has purpose in his heart to obey. Though even though Abraham made a mistake, God still protected him and caused the nation who wanted to take advantage of Abraham to have struck with infertility. So that you protect those who obey you, you're almost like unfair. So would you like God to be unfair towards others and favor towards you? Well, the best way is to obey him. But you say, oh, but sometimes I just stumble, I become weak. But that's okay. That's just a moment, just like David. David obeyed the Lord. He honored the Lord because God said, no king is in its place without me anointing them. All authority has been established by me. So king represents God or me. So when Saul was chasing David through the wilderness and Saul had mental breakdown, he was so consumed with jealousy that he lost his authority. So he wanted to swallow up David and wanted to persecute David. It's because Saul had no security, so he wanted to destroy David. But David has been he kept on submitting to even this crazy anointed one. God tested David twice. So if you take the weapon and just stake Saul into the ground, then he would have been gone. But not only that, he didn't even have to do it. His generals just said, you know, let me take care of Saul for you. So it's not even King David's problem. But David said, no, who can touch the Lord's anointed? Do you know that you say that you're willing to obey God? But you know, obedience takes testing. It's to be tested to know whether or not I'm truly a submissive person or obedient person. And especially at key moments when you say, hey, I can really get rid of this thing that really bothered me. I don't have to be oppressed. I don't have to be killed. Every single day, you know, David was in the wilderness. His life was always like in the balance. He just, you know, run away. That's his daily life. And so right in front of him, there was such an opportunity to get rid of that trouble. So if you use your own self-centered mindset, then you use your own comfort as the center, then, hey, that's rational. So it's not me, but the general said, hey, see, this is the Lord has given you Saul's life. And so all you have... And the general next to David just said, just allow me and then I'll kill Saul. And King David could have said, I don't need to say anything. I just have to nod my head and get rid of the worst problem of my life and living in fear every day. Israel's not really that big. You know, it's not hard to capture David. It's pretty easy. But God was testing David at that moment. And so that God allows David in that moment, such temptation, David rose up and said, no, who can touch the Lord's anointed? So a lot of times in those critical moments that we come to in our lives, it's a testing to see how we will honor God's established rules, established authorities, established principles. So at those moments, David accessed that and chose. So even though David later on in life, under impulse, fell under his weakness, took someone else's wife and to cover up and killed this wife's husband. Very shameful, very shameful. That's a huge sin against the Lord. But God, through the prophet to expose David, David repented, and then God completely covered his sin. Such a good God, such a good God. God is so tender towards those who are willing to obey him, submit to him, so much love. And not only that, but God called King David a man after my own heart. So God does not want you to be perfect, but God desires for you to submit to him and to his word. To obey, to submit. And that's what he desires. And it's true that God's mercy to David, and it draws him to repentance and become even more holy. So David, under God's grace, is able to overcome his weaknesses. And that's how God is. God uses his grace to cause us to be strong, to cause us to be honorable. This is God's love, and this is his way. And Saul, have you discovered Saul's sins compared to David? From our perspective, we say, that's not that bad. What's the big deal? Because Samuel said, wait for 7 days to Saul, you know, wait for 7 days. And I, you know, Saul waited for 7 days, but you were late. You were late, prophet. You didn't show up. And then the environment is very critical. And so I had to force myself to make an offering, said Saul. But God cared more that make an offering and sacrifice is not Saul's business, is this prophet's business. So that's his limit. And then the prophet said, wait for me to come and make the sacrifice. So you have to wait. So if you look at the, if you look at it, so waiting, that's a little thing. But in God's eyes, God sees a person's obedience in terms of the order that I have established. Do you honor? Will you uphold more than your life? Or you care more about your how other people perceive you and how other people see you and how comfortable you are, and would people still treat you well, or would they cut you off? So when you come in those two paradigms, which one would you choose? And Saul chose, I am more important than God's principles. And this is what caused Saul to fall ultimately. And not only that, Saul didn't repent right away. So God gave him a second chance to completely obliterate an enemy city. And so Saul didn't. Saul thought, well, the spoils and also the lambs and the animals are great for sacrifice. Why do I need to kill those? Well, the animals didn't sin. Why? Well, I just keep some. I'm just going to offer it to the Lord. But God cares about whether we are obedient to him or not, because the Lord knows the future. The Lord knows that this consequence, God knows that if we do not cultivate an obedient heart, we will always be self-centered. Everything has to go through my reason. It has to make sense to me, then therefore I do it. And at those moments, I'm going to say no to what God has to say in this event. This type of mindset is what causes God to reject Saul. And why is it that this coming 2 months, we're talking about the topic of obedience? Is because we are all God's sons and daughters, and we are placing this position of reigning in God's kingdom. So if you're in that position, God cares whether that he has an obedient vessel or not, or else God's kingdom will be threatened. Do you get this? So obedience is not that God wants to oppress you. It's not a topic to come and just demand of you to suppress you, to oppress you, but to lead you to begin to cultivate this character so that you can rule and reign with the Lord, or else God can not trust you with his kingdom to administer, because this person will always have his or her own thoughts, and it will be logical and it will make sense to that person in every single circumstance how this person is going to choose, especially in these critical moments when there is going to be a conflict of interest. And this person will always choose me. My thoughts are more important. My perspective and how I feel and my perception and how secure I am, that's more important. So bottom line, Saul, when he was tested, he was all that self-centeredness got exposed, and he was not obedient to the Lord. So when the enemies came, he asked the Lord. The Lord didn't say anything. And then so what did he do? He went to look for somebody who practices witchcraft. And he knew that God hated witchcraft. But at a critical moment, he just cared about this thing gets resolved. It's effective, that there's a solution. How do I solve this problem? And because he wanted to resolve a problem, he doesn't care how the ends justifies the means. So he went to look for a witch. He wanted to call forth the spirit of Samuel. He just felt like he is still being very spiritual because he was looking for Samuel, the prophet. He didn't kill off all the animals, and he felt like, oh, you know, hey, I am obedient because I'm being godly and religious because these animals are for the Lord. I didn't wait for Samuel, the prophet Samuel, to come and make a sacrifice. That's okay. I made the sacrifice. So I'm being religious and obedient. So all these wrong mindful wrongful mindset is in contrast to what God cares about, which is how he established his principles and his order. So let's take a look at Genesis 13. Genesis 16. Genesis 16, we can see that verse 5.
And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress.
Hagar is a handmaiden to Sarah. So Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to procure a son. But Hagar was pregnant and began to be proud and began to despise her mistress. You know, she's thinking, see, I'm just with Abraham and I became pregnant, and you, Sarah, you're unable to be pregnant. So she began to despise Sarah. And because of it, in verse 8, then Sarah said,
Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai.
And because of her pride, and because she wanted to lift herself higher, she forgot that she's a handmaiden. God has established her, the realm of authority is a handmaiden. She saw that she became pregnant, so she thought, oh, I am more capable and favored than my mistress. Look at you. You couldn't get pregnant. Me, right away, pregnancy. So she began to look down on Sarah, and she began to be mistreated. And it says that Sarah mistreated Hagar, and then Hagar ran away. And then God revealed himself to her on verse 10.
The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for magnitude. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her.
God desires for us. He has prepared the roles for us and the realm of authority that we are willing to submit. So if you submit under the authority for Hagar, which is under Sarah, if she does that, then she is submitted under God, because God has allowed Sarah to be Hagar's mistress. And even if you're pregnant, you need to be submitted under Sarah, which is appointed by the Lord. And not only that, God had promised that you will have, that your offspring will multiply and they cannot be numbered. And later on, Hagar said that you are a God of seeing. And later on, it said that God's blessings for Ishmael is very, very great. That Ishmael became a great nation. And not only that, but God blessed him and his generations. So, dear family, do you understand that when God rules and reigns the nations, he gave everybody different roles and positions, and God cares about this established order? Well, you're going to say, well, why she is a mistress and she is a handmaiden? You know, well, they're a different position. Not everybody can be a mistress or a head, because when God rules his kingdom, there needs to be order and position. But God cares and take hold and covers every single role and function. And so it's not like, oh, God is really good to the head, draw near to the head only. No. God even blessed Hagar. So God blessed Hagar with multiplication, with her generations will become a great nation. But God told Hagar, you need to go back and return to your mistress and submit under her. So if you think about it, if Hagar really truly submitted under Sarah and brought Ishmael to return Ishmael to Sarah, says, this is your son. I gave birth to him in your name. And this son belongs to you and to Abraham. And in this way, fulfill her role and honor the mistress. How do you think Sarah would have treated her? Of course, Sarah would have loved Hagar and said, wow, this handmaiden gave birth a son on my behalf. And Sarah would love Ishmael greatly. And then, yet, when God gave Sarah Isaac, And by then, Sarah would have had 13 years of relationship with Ishmael. So even if she has Isaac, she would have loved Ishmael, and that Ishmael would have a place in this family clan to help the little baby brother, so that the result will be so different than right now. So different. So right now, Ishmael's descendants and Isaac's descendants, Arabs, and also the Israel, the Jews, are now mortal enemies. And so if you look at the Arab nation, so great, and they have all these resources in terms of gas. And so when God blessed the handmaiden's descendants? No, it's not, if you look at the current events. So, dear family, you gotta know and be careful. Are you submitted under what God has created for you, your role, your position, and your function? Are you joyfully fulfilling the role that He has called you to be? Because Hagar did not submit under her mistress, because she began to look down upon her mistress. She is a barren woman, because in ancient days, barren a woman is full of shame. So Hagar says, see, look at me. I'm so capable. I'm healthy. I'm able to give birth. I'm with Abraham. I became pregnant very quickly. So this cost Hagar greatly. Because of pride, Hagar did not stand in the right position. And because of that, she basically tasted the consequence of suffering. But when she was mistreated, she did not humble herself and repent, but she ran away. Hagar in the original language means an immigrant, someone who ran away. So because Hagar ran away, because Hagar did not submit under the God's role for her under Sarah, this caused many, many, many hurt and wounds and enmity in the generations after. So I discovered that under God's appointed order is so important. So I'm just saying that our world today doesn't have to be developed to such a degree. Even right now, Arabs, Israel, they're mortal enemies. Arab nations want to destroy and swallow up Israel, because inside of them, there's no place for Israel. Originally, they all came out of the same father, the same ancestor, but because of the mom refused to submit the mistress, submit to the role that God has assigned her, and because of that pride and that disobedience, it brought generations and generations of hurt, struggle, and destruction. And I just felt like today, we also are like that. Have we submit under the authority that God has given us to our parents, our bosses, our teachers, our spiritual leaders? Are we often because like, well, they're not so perfect. They've done things wrong. So they're not capable, so I ran away. So I'm just like Hagar, I just ran away. Those kind of people, you realize they jump from one church to another church to another church. And because they don't know where to go. And originally God has given this person the type of equipping and wanted to use this person greatly, but God couldn't, because this person just keep on going from one place to another place to another place. So God's will in this person's life could not be established. So God, with the leaders that He has established, when they've sinned or made a mistakes, God will reveal to that leader. If that leader does not repent, God will discipline that leader very severely. And God's discipline to the leaders are very severe. Do you envy that? So somebody says, oh, yeah, I like to be a Jew. I don't want to be an Arab, because Jews, oh, they're Isaac's descendants. But if you go to be a Jew and you just ask Jewish people, do they like being a Jew? Because they are the firstborn. They are the promised son. They, through them, God wants to bless the nations. Well, they've been tested. So many testings and trials. Could they come and submit and obey God? So a lot of the critical times in history, they did not obey God and they got punished or disciplined severely. So is there any roles that is worthy of your envy? So you want to be a president? Oh, I don't. So I just feel like even being a mayor, you lose so much weight being the mayor. So all sorts of difficulties is on your shoulders. Do you envy that? So I don't want to be a peasant. I want to be an officer. Very good. God's family really needs people who step up into the mountain of government to be an influencer and to be a conduit for the Lord's kingdom to go in. So obedience, the key is to submit under God's plan for you and where He has situated you, so that I can fulfill the role that He has placed me in right now. So today, a lot of people's like this. Does not submit under the boss, does not submit under the spiritual leaders or parents or teachers, and they run away. So a lot of our West Coast kids, after they become get in college, they fly to the East Coast. And the East Coast, well, kids, when they grow up in college, they fly to the West Coast. So sinners are like that. Unless we submit under God, then we will not be able to walk out into that blessed life that He has planned for us. So God established husband and wife. A lot of times, a lot of wives looks at God's word. Wives, submit and honor your husband, just like the church submits to the Lord. So wives just are so turned off by that phrase. They just don't even want to look at it. That's just God's word. So, dear family, is that heart of submission and obedience in us? Or is it we just want to pick and choose wording the Bible that I like? And not only that, but we will show off, say, see, this is what the Bible says. You need to do that. So why do I need to obey or submit to my spouse's ideas or my leader's ideas? I'm smarter, I'm more capable, I am more connected, my gifting is better. But, you know, this leader or my spouse, every time he or she talks, it couldn't even be so clear. So being a wife, if you despise your husband and did not honor the husband as the Lord has commanded, then in this family, even the children is going to be so so wounded. So anywhere, any family where the wives is so authoritative and the strong women, very bossy at home, whatever the wife says, the everybody just follows. Look at those kind of families. Look at their kids. Have you seen kids that's, oh, they're like this. They're so submissive. They're so good. They're so happy. They're so joyful. None. Because the way God has so established order in a family. But you say, are you kidding me? I cannot submit to my husband. I'm going to die. No, you're not submitting to your husband. It's because you're submitting to the husband because of Jesus is the head. So for our church, all the wives will be so much easier to submit to your husband because you already promised and offer up your mindset earlier. Because in a family, it doesn't matter if, you know, whose strategy is the best and who is more capable, more gifted. It's how, what God says into this family. The wife is to help the husband. The wife is to honor the husband. Well, you say, why does the Bible look down on women? No, I don't think so. I don't think the Bible's prejudice against women. Because God says that the husband needs to love the wife just as if he loves himself. And not only that, but a husband ought to take the wife as if it's your heart and your bones. You look at the wife, you're not going to say, oh, what kind of cooking is this? It's disgusting. Or you're growing old. No. But you're going to say, oh, you're the bone of my bones, heart of my heart. You cooked a meal for me. Oh, so amazing. That's how you are to look at your wife, that you're the most precious. Now, if you think your wife so ugly, so old, well, she is the bone of your bones, the heart of your heart. Then if you look down on your wife, then that means you are ugly. So this is God's established order within a family. Not only that, but husbands, when your wife is weak, you need to honor and just treasure and cherish her so she will not live in a place where she feels like she's not worthy. She's not worth, she is nobody. And I really see some husbands really cherish and nourish the wife in the areas that she's weak, and that this wife became so bloomed and become so wonderful and so confident. And because God says that husband need to speak words of truth, just like water nourishes the land. And the husband ought to, through worship and to build up and to prophesy to the wife. So that when you do this, then you will cause the wife, because women tend to be more emotional. And through your words, through the truth, it's like water washing over her and provide her, nourish her with God's word. And this wife will kept on getting washed off the emotionalism, and she will become pure and she will become secure. And that's what she'll become. So if you look at a wife after marriage, she becomes so more and more lovely. And I know that's because the husband really knows how to pour out God's love on the wife. The husband will know how to use words to affirm the wife, to support the wife, to encourage the wife, so that the wife will know that she is so important. And if you see the husband at home become so confident, and this husband, before the husband didn't even know how to communicate, but after marriage is able to communicate and so confident and so good at sharing. That is because the wife really knows how to honor the husband and knows how to respect the husband, to lift the husband high. So roles for husband and wife, really important. Dear family, if you are always argue with your spouse, who makes more sense? I think we should do it like that, and you, etc., and not using God's word to break through the mindset of the knowledge of good and evil. But unless we walk in God's word and treat one another according to the biblical perspective, you know, and not only that, but I will only read the verses applied to my role, and not husband just keep on reading the parts that the wife should do and preach it over her. No, we should each read the verses that apply to our role. It doesn't matter if our personality is so different or our ideas and mindsets are so different. No, when you obey the Lord and walk in it, you will be united in the Lord, and this family will be united. So if this is not where you're at in your marriage or relationship, then very, very quickly repent and just align yourselves with the role that God has assigned you in this marriage. And when you do that, then your children will become obedient to you. Now, if a wife does not know how to fulfill her role before the Lord and becomes an helper, a supporter, and to help the husband to be successful, then she is not always like, I am better than you and I'm pulling you up, but humble herself and lift her husband up from below. When a wife is not functioning within the role that God has called her, if a wife becomes like, I am number one in this family, so when she is like that, you will find out that her kids will have a lot of problems. Not only that, but her children's marriage will have big problems because that's the role that they see. And a lot of times when the children sees husband and wife are like this, they don't care about marriage. They don't like marriage. And even if they get married, they don't want kids. It's because they have not seen a beautiful picture of marriage. But God's desire for marriage is so beautiful. So dear family, if you don't take hold and see it as precious, the roles that God has assigned you, then you will lose your family. You'll lose a home. And I'm telling you the truth. Just in a few years, you will have no family, because God says that you don't treasure family. You don't treasure the role that I have given you to fulfill within this family. You notice that in this world, darkness just keep on pressing forward to oppose God and to oppose all the order that God has established. So darkness wanted to swallow up and confuse and destroy God's established order. So believers, God's prince and princesses, you have to press in to walk in the role that God has so assigned and provided for you. Children, God talks about in the word, in Proverbs 13, the last verse.
I don't have it.
Proverbs 13:24.
Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him.
God says, well, if you love your sons, you got to discipline. And not only that, but if you don't discipline with the rod, then that means you hate your kid. And you say, why do you need to do that? I love my son. I don't believe in that thing. But God says that, well, then that means you hate your son. So why does that equate that you despise your son? Because in another area, in Proverbs 29, Proverbs 29:15.
The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother.
And also 17.
Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart.
So God is talking about needs to discipline. And not only that, but use the rod of discipline can increase wisdom. And a lot of mothers and fathers, you cannot receive this Proverbs and disagrees. And at the end, your children's going to go the other way. You say, no, my kids are pretty good. I tell you, wait until they're a teenager, you're going to lose them. So when God says to you, there must be a reason. There must be a reason. And you, if you don't follow according to God's word, to treat your sons and daughters, and later on, you will lose them. And so children's Sunday school, they feel like it's hard to teach your child because of rebellion. It says that, it just that rebellion will cause the child to be foolish. And then, so Proverbs 22:15 also mentioned that. Because it says, so, because it says that a rod of discipline is able to, it's able to get rid of foolishness, but some parents, they just don't want to. And you gotta, as a parent, obey what the Lord says to you, because whatever God's word says, it must be so. So your rod of discipline is not gonna kill the person, kill your sons and daughters. But if you do not discipline your sons and daughters, you're gonna cause them to go to hell because of the decisions that they're going to be making and rebellion. So God's word is full of wisdom. So I know that, you know, when you're a parent, you discipline your son, then it hurts you. I was disciplining my sister's son and I used the littlest ruler and I just said, give me the palm of your hand. I spank the hand and every spank, my heart just goes, ooh, I hurt. So I kind of understand the heart of the mother. Not easy. Not easy because you love your son. You just spank the son and you hurt yourself. But God's love is higher than your love. God knows what your child would be like in the future. And so that's why the Lord says, use the rod of discipline. Discipline them. So that foolishness will depart from this child. So that obedience will become a critical character in this child's life. So our God's word is so full. Just his word. It's just that authority, that holistic blessing and the beauty. It just able to saturate every single aspect of our lives. And if you have a heart of obedience, then you will keep on access that blessing. Just like a sister among us, she is taking care of the company on behalf of the in-laws. Earlier, this brother-in-law had an affair. And so the brother-in-law wanted to have a legal battle with the sister. And not only that, but in this legal battle, the brother-in-law sued the sister and also sued this particular sister too. So the sister and the older sister and got sucked into this legal battle and got laid off from brother-in-law's company and got pestered by the lawyer. And so she didn't tell this to the home group leader. And so the home group leader still asked this sister to do the summary and to serve in the home group. And so she submitted to the home group leader. And sometimes that, even though her heart is just so bothered, but she just received this home group leader's request and she just listened to the message and she just began to do the summary. And then the sister's brother-in-law has three lawyers in Taiwan and three lawyers in America. But this sister and her older sister does not have money to have a legal counsel. But somehow the other, they got a free, the service of a free lawyer. And then so this particular sister just was so confused, saying that how can this free lawyer help me to win? But because she was obeying, submitting under the home group leaders to serve as a summary person at the home group. And at the moment, she was listening to the message, old wineskin to new wineskin, the fifth message, the inside that message, inside the CD. It says that at the time I was sharing, says, oh, you don't need to get a lawyer that is some high class, because Holy Spirit just right next to you to protect you, to speak on your behalf. The Holy Spirit loves you. He receives you. He looks at you with full of love, and he will stand on your behalf and against all of the accusation, all the words that will hurt you. This is Holy Spirit. And so when she heard this, she felt like God is speaking to her. And then so she said, okay, I don't need to look for another lawyer. But so as you draw near to the date of the court, and then she still would just be so concerned because of all the consequences. And a few days ago, she was listening to submission or the heart of obedience in this home group. At that time, this particular sister said, all of a sudden, Psalm 37:5, give all things to him and also just depend on him and he will fulfill your desire. And so I was in the message was saying that a lot of people just lift up their burdens to the Lord and they pray. But after they get up and even if before they walk out the door, they just took back all of the burdens on their own shoulders again. And that means you have not yet released to the Lord. And so she was listening to the message because she's doing the summary for the home group. She was so tired. She was like falling asleep while listening to the message. And as soon as she woke up and she heard this one thing, Psalm 37. And so this sister just felt like, wow, God, you're talking to me. I really need to release this burden, this worries to you, because you already say that you are my best lawyer. I don't need to keep on just pondering and just being tangled up by all these thoughts and get weighted down by worry and anxieties. I can just release it to you from this day onward. I'm not going to worry. And when she began to purposing her heart to walk in it, then she had peace and she began to be joyful, and God caused her to be victorious. She's completely free from this case. And before she asked a home group leader to pray with her last year because she wanted to retire. And because this company actually doesn't belong to her. It's actually the brothers-in-law and the sisters, older sisters. And so because of this legal battle just resolved recently, she was able to retire. So do you believe that God brought you to this church? Do you believe that Holy Spirit is leading this church? And that and whatever the topic, the theme in this season, you know, God is going to build you up through this theme and asking you to listen to this particular message or to practice a certain spiritual discipline. Do you know that God is leading? So if you care about this and you just say, oh no, I heard submission already, the messages, but hey, do you have that heart of obedience? So if you don't, then you got to listen to the message and practice again. Bottom line. Before I just kept on listening to my pastor's messages. She's such an absolute obedient person that she will lay down her life. And so whatever that she preaches, you know, so me, when I first began to listen, I heard and I go, huh, really, really good. But after a while, it becomes wind blowing by my ears. And one day, all of a sudden, I had a deep, deep revelation. I heard what she had to say, and I realized that I was not an obedient person. I thought I was an obedient person, but when it comes down to it, in terms of my future, what my career is going to be, I want to whether I want to be married, my future, I wanted God to let me choose. I didn't want God to touch my future in my subconscious. Do you get what I mean? So that day when I heard it, when I received it, I discovered that I wasn't a very obedient person. I began to repent deeply and I said, God, I purpose in my heart to be an obedient person. I purpose in my heart, absolutely, from this day forward, I will not say, well, I feel this way. I really wanted to do it this way. My future, I want it this way. And I said, God, I'm so willing to obey you, absolutely. That day, you know, right after the Sunday service, I just came before the altar call. I submitted before the Lord, absolutely. Do you know that moment? I said, doesn't matter if you want me to marry a person that have no feelings whatsoever. I'm just so willing. That's how absolute that I was in my heart for obedience. And I realized after I went home, the way that I treated my family is so different. Before, in Taiwanese, there's a phrase that says, oh, my older sister said, hey, Grace, after you finish eating, could you go and clean up? And I said, okay, wait a moment. I'm reading the news. Everything they told me, I'll say, yes. Okay, wait for a second. But from that meeting onward, my family members, they can ask me and I will just let go and I will just do it right away. I'm always cultivating this heart of obedience. So I obey and I also submit. And so when I walked in it, I realized the rest of my days, no matter what God said to me, I just feel like it's not that hard to obey him. My first response is just, okay, God, yes. Yes, I'm willing. I will. And I just give it to him. I don't consider and think and calculate. This kind of character to me brought so much blessings. Why? Because God can trust me. God can trust me. I'm trustworthy. He's not going to say to me this and I'm going to go, I'm going to go the other way. Then there's no way that God can trust me with this church. I tell you to administer this church. What are you going to build it into? No, it's not. It's not mine. So there's a brother among us. He's an accountant. He works in a very large, well-known firm. This accounting firm, it's a lot of overtime and just a lot of business trips. And so this brother, just no way is able to make it to the services. And sometimes his zone leader would just ask him, would you want to come and be part of this ministry? And he said, no, I can't. I'm so busy. Even Sunday service, the bottom line, the basic, I couldn't commit. I'm going to go to business trip. I there's no way that I could. And then later on, just his mindset, just feel like, God, if you want me to serve, it's not I'm unwilling, but you want me to serve, you gotta release so that my work is more relaxed and it's not so pressing, so I have time to serve. That's his mindset. One day, just like that, many, many years, one day, I think last year, God gave him a dream. And in this dream, he saw the art church, so many people. He was among the crowds in this church. And we were in a test. In this test, the person who is overseeing the test said that there are some rules for the test and you have to follow those rules to answer. As soon as he got the test, he just knew the overall content. As soon as he got the test, he just finished one by one and just turned it in. And then when they began to debrief after the test, and he realized he didn't follow the direction. And he realized that he didn't answer each question according to the rule. And he failed and he couldn't graduate. And he was so disappointed. And he said, why didn't I just look at what the rules and the regulations are for each question? I just know the general direction, but I didn't follow through with the details. And now I couldn't graduate. And he was so scared. He woke up and that was a prophetic dream. And afterwards, he was just so full of regret. And he said, why didn't I just read all the directions in such detail and follow through with everything? And then he fell asleep again. And he continued part B of the dream. And he never had an experience like that to have A, B. And so, and then the person who was overseeing the test was passing out the test. And there's many who couldn't graduate. And then when it's his turn, the person said, the tester says, oh, I'm not going to give it to you. I'll give you a second chance. And he woke up and he got it. He got it that my mindset often is filled with my thoughts. When I feel that when I serve, that you let my work release me, then I can serve or else I don't have time to serve. And he has his own thoughts and very logical, very reasonable. But that day he get it. God has through his church and everything that is preached out of this place and the way where God is leading this church and when the church says, let's move this direction, that direction, and he just didn't care. Because he always thought that he has his own thoughts. He has his own concerns and his own time limits and he just didn't care. And then that day this brother said, I release my authority over to you that you brought me to this church. I will be fully committed to this church. And through the messages that you release out of the pulpit and through all the details and the direction of what is it we're practicing and where we're going, I will obey. But I just don't want to just know the general direction, but I didn't follow carefully the details and I couldn't graduate. And then this brother said, after this brother said, this to me, I realized, hey, this is a word for our entire church and we need to be careful and alert. And this brother, the details are just like Saul. Saul obeyed, but he did not complete his obedience all the way. He did not catch the main point of what is on God's heart. He did not recognize that obedience means God is the center. Completely submit to God and obey. Just completely submit and obey to God. So obedience doesn't mean that, oh, it's reasonable, I receive it. If it's not reasonable, I will just say, why do I need to? And then this particular brother another day, God gave this brother another dream. And in this dream, he woke up and he spoke to the wife. And they both realized that God wanted them to open up their home for small groups. And so this brother went to the zone leader and said, oh, the zone leader, he went to his zone leader's home, and the zone leader just asked his brother, said, "Hey, you know, we are multiplying. We need to have two home groups. Are you willing?" And this brother says, "Yes, I'm willing," because of that dream. So the next day, when there is a when he was in the kitchen cooking, when he was in the kitchen, there was a car that just ran through the front yard and right into the kitchen. And he said, one car, it just ran smack right into the kitchen. And he said, he stood in that place, but he felt like there is a wall that prevented the car from running him over in the kitchen. And that driver was not harmed. And that driver was not drunk. The driver was trying to avoid another car, and because the turn was too much, just ran through the yard and the kitchen. And if that was you, what were you going to say? You're going to say, "Oh man, that's bad omen. I shouldn't open up my home. There is opposition. This is a sign." But this brother said, "Wow. Wow. That's impossible. Happened to me next day. Right after I opened my home, I can tell that the enemy wanted to scare me because I opened up my home. It's going to be a threat to the enemy. And because I opened up my home, this is exactly what is on God's heart, so that the enemy is scaring me. Well, I am going to repair this very quickly, and I'm going to open up my home. This is a sign confirming." So in the process of, you know, fixing the kitchen has so many months, and he was just kind of bothered, frustrated. And God said to him, "You want to build the front yard and the kitchen and all that?" Because at the time they were reading Nehemiah at the time. Just the 24/7 prayer wall. So I tell you that wherever Holy Spirit is leading this church, and that pacing of what's happening in the church is very closely connected to what God is doing in your own personal life. So at the time when we were building up the prayer wall at church, 24/7 Nehemiah, and God spoke to him saying that it's easy to build up the outside walls, very easy, but the inner temple is empty, it doesn't matter. So, he realized that, oh, that my family altar, my unity with my spouse within the family, I need to build that up. So it's not just about building the physical walls, but it's building the unity within the family. And then God began to release dreams to him. So he releases authority to God. He realized it's not me waiting to change the circumstances of my work so that I can serve, but he just purposed in his heart, "God, I will serve you. You can change my job, or do you want me switch job?" And he didn't want it to change this company, because the boss is treating him really well and he's having a promotion. And in the natural, he really liked to work in a well-known firm. But because he is releasing his own lordship over to God, he does not want to follow his own will. He began to seek the Lord, said, "God, do you want me to switch jobs?" And 5 months, he knew for sure that God wanted him to switch job. And so he began to look for a job from May to August. And he said, "I have no job." And God, in October, you know, there's going to be a peak in the job. So God said, "Oh, in October, I'm going to give it to you." And in October, a headhunter came and just sought him out and said, "I want to make you an offer." And the human resources of the other firm just asked him, "So in the past, in your company, what is your base salary?" And he just shared. He took the base salary plus all the benefits plus all the bonuses plus all the business trips and plus all the food, the gas, everything. He added all these, just added on and just give it to this, just give this number. And this firm said, ooh, that's really high salary. I don't know. It's higher than our budget. And 8% higher than our budget. And then later, that company had a meeting. During that company, they said they still wanted this brother. And as soon as they make that decision, the offer letter is already written. Give it to this brother. And then the human resources manager said, this number, is that your base salary? Honestly, it's not. But he just feel like, well, every year, this is my year. And he said, yes. The human resources asked twice. And then he said, yes. And when he went home, at the time, our church, we're talking about purity, purifying, enter into the promise. And we have circumcision. We have to be holy and purify. And he realized in his conscience that he was not honest. And so he took up the courage and called the human resources manager and said, honestly, you know, that foundation, the salary is not my base salary. I actually added the benefits. And then he also told another manager within the company, and they said, yeah, it's true. The company says it's really on the higher end. We really, to us, is too high. And then they rested right there. And after he went home, he just said, Lord, I'm honest now. I'm truthful. Even if I don't have that job, I release this my rights to you. And then the next day, the human resources and also the hiring manager looked for him and said, we really appreciate your honesty, because what we want you to do is to oversee the entire company, the finances. We need somebody who is trustworthy, has high integrity. And so we're really glad that we have found someone like you. So they happily employed him, and it's such high salary. It's way higher than his original company by 10%. So, dear family, bottom line is not money. It's whether I hear this brother and how God's ways and also God's revelations and convictions in this brother, and how this brother began to adjust his thinking, release his own rights, and he's willing to release his own rights and his own thoughts to follow how God is leading this church, and how he's committing and believing that God is speaking to him through the flow and the direction of the church that he's committed to. And so he realized that when he began to flow and submit, then his calling began to get revealed bit by bit. And God spoke to him that in the spiritual realm, when you obey me, you release your rights. And in the material and the natural world, your work, your direction, your vision and calling got released and activated. But this brother said, my mindset, I was just like, hey, take care of my job first so that my job is more reasonable, because before so many years, his work just changed so many companies, and he just always felt like he is always oppressed by the burden, the heaviness of his work. And he couldn't even attend the meetings. He couldn't even serve. But right now, he released his rights to God. He did not demand God, change the natural first, change my job first, and then I can serve you. And no, he put God first. Not only that, he knows that God, through the church that he's committed to, is leading and guiding him, even his own personal lives. So whatever, wherever God is leading the church, and I'm committed to go in the flow. So right now, this brother is a home group leader. And not only that, the husband and wife begin to be united. They have their family altar prayer time in all dimensions. And God, I know, is going to bless this brother. It's going to raise this brother up in the seven mountains to be a leader and the influencer. So dear family, December, Jesus, celebrating Jesus' birth. He's here. And that this Prince of Peace, so simple, become a simple, lowly child and walked out away on this earth in history, not according to my rights, not according to my will, but your will. And because of it, his life impacted the entire world so that we could have salvation, so that we could have life. When Jesus came to this earth, Father God allowed him to be here so that Father God could have sons and daughters like prince and princesses, just like Jesus, fully submitted unto God, obey the Lord, and just obey and submit unto every circumstance the Lord has measured and crafted for us to submit all authorities that God has established, because in every single circumstance, give thanks in them. Do you believe it? Do you believe that it's God's heart in all circumstances? He wanted to bless you. So if that is true, and you believe that, then you respond to him, God, I want to be an obedient daughter and son. Obedience has to be your character. Obedience has to be immediate. Martina has shared that. I don't know whether he actually shared that, but Martina, we were in Hong Kong, was in the car, and the person, the driver, or the person who's sitting next to the driver was saying that, oh, you can't sit on this side. I know the driver was talking about Martina, but when I heard that, I was at the back seat. It wasn't for me, but I just immediately switched seat. And I just, such a little thing. That's my character. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, whatever you say, they always say, wait, and then they'll forget. And if you have that obedience, that character, and just that habit of submission and obedience, it's going to be a great blessing to you. Not just that, but you're going to rule and reign. You have to have an obedient character birthing to you. Then God can trust you. And another one, and just a lot of times that we may be in the role of a helper, a handmaiden, somebody who supports. And don't just feel like, oh, I am second-class citizen. No. The way that God looks over you, that God's grace over you, it's exactly the same in the role that he has called you. And if you're a leader, you need to honor those who are under you in authority. And those who are under authority need to honor and lift up the ones who are established above you in that function. So if we all live fully in the role that God has given us, then we will have a blessed life. And yesterday, a brother was telling me that when he joined the military, just, you know, vacation days, oh, when they become enlisted men, you have to learn three phrases: yes, no, I have no excuse. You just have those three phrases. Just yes, sir, no excuses, sir. So doing vacation days for the enlisted men, the camp, 8 o'clock, you're released to go. And then the sergeant said that your belt buckle has to be polished really shiny, and your shoes has to be polished really shiny. So 8 o'clock. And the 8 o'clock, they've been checked by the sergeant. But between the camp to the double doors, there's a lot of sergeants are checking as they're walking. The sergeant will say, "Is it polished? The belt buckle? Is it polished? And if you said, you say, yes, sir, I have already been checked. Then you have extra words. You just say, yes, yes, sir, no excuses, sir. Then go back, start over again, go polish again. So some people would just say, the enlisted men will just like, will just kind of touch, just step on your polished shoes. So let me see if it's clean. Is it shiny? Or the, and if you say, sir, you're stepping on my shoes, sir. No, you cannot say that. You just said, yes, sir, not polished enough, sir. And then you go back and you get polished up again. And so 8 o'clock, by the time he goes from the camp to the double doors, 4 p.m. So 8 o'clock in the morning, he was released 4 p.m. through the double doors. And that was the training. Honestly, they planned all this. The sergeants, they just planned it out. They want to just press it in you, just break in. So just, you don't have any excuses. You just obey. So if they don't train that obedience in the enlisted men, if the enemy comes, you know, and you're seeing the enemy, you go, let's go forward. You're going to say, I don't think so. Danger. You're not going to follow. So when you're in enlisted men, the key thing is obedience without reason. So I was talking with this brother, and this brother was saying that, sharing this story, I realized that, earthly armies has this kind of obedience trained in. How much so for the kingdom military? If the bottom line obedience, we don't have ears that can hear and submit and obey, the kingdom army, forget it. There's no way that you can take down the darkness. So for us, we all want to be effective soldiers in the first army. So, you know, so if you're in that position, the way that God built it in, it's not like these sergeants trying to train you and oppress you. No, God is saying that, yes, I love you. I'll give you a second chance. That's okay. Try again. That's how God trains us. That's how a loving God does that. But out of that loving trust, will you learn obedience? So King David learned obedience in this way. So if you want to be the vanguard military in God's kingdom, so it's not one who will, in the end times, that will take life, but everywhere this vanguard just marching forward in God's kingdom, they're going to bring about more life and life and life. So if you're not like this, then there's no way that you can release life everywhere you go, because you are oppressed by darkness. But us as a vanguard, just being so absolute to follow after God, the general, when God took the Israelites out of Egypt, God sees them as army. But in the whole process of going to the promised land, they were learning obedience and they didn't. So they died in the wilderness. As a New Testament army, we don't want to fail. We say, God, we're going to be ones who are obedient towards you, submitting towards you, a bride who hears you. We know that we will run towards your will. We know that every one of your word is the best. It is the best. It benefits me the most. Do you believe that? Okay. So if you want to be one who be a successful bride and a vanguard army, come to the front in response and let's just rise. So you want to be an obedient son or daughter in his vanguard army and be his bride. If you're willing to cultivate a heart of obedience, it's not like, I want to obey that. I don't want to obey that. That doesn't make any sense to me. That makes sense to me. No, it's not that. But obedience talks also includes that the message is coming out of the pulpit. So it doesn't matter, you know, how perfect this vessel is on the pulpit. You know, if the worship leader is right here, they're standing the authority that God has anointed them. If they say, come up to the front, then you obey and submit to the established order God has on the pulpit. Then you have that obedience. And I was sharing you about that, brother. You know, that brother, few years ago came to the training center and he said, you know what? Why do I need to go up to the front? You mean God's presence is not at the back? What's up with that? But I said, I challenge everyone, you know, if it's 18-year-old that's leading worship, but if the 18-year-old worship leader said, let's come up to the front, you're 40-something-year-old, you respond. If you respond, that's going to build and cultivate a heart of obedience in your character. So that brother heard it, and he began to walk in it. So don't just feel like, oh, I experienced so much. I tell you, wonderful experiences, God encounters will pass, but live every day before the Lord. Today, I know truly that I submitted before the Lord and obeyed Him. You use that as a way of measuring yourself, because today, when you live a life of obedience and surrender, then Jesus' character will be in you, then you will truly be blessed.